Call the committee to hold for August 31st to order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson.
Here.
Alderman Dandrea.
Here.
Alderman Mayer.
Here.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderwoman Evans.
Here.
Alderman Schmidt.
Here.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Excuse me. We have a quorum. Please rise and join the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'm excusing the clerk. She's got other issues to attend to. Move on to item two, Director of Finance Treasury Report on the Economic Development Plans presented to the County Council June 10th, as directed by the Council, Mr. Ratzenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes.
Is that better?
Yep.
There. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Members of the Common Council, you requested at your June 10th meeting that I provide a report on the Ehlers presentation for the financing for TID 4, so I'm prepared to do that this evening. In your Common Council packets should be a copy of a page that's kind of color and looks like this. I'd like to, for a moment, review the tax incremental financing tool that the state provides municipalities so that we're all starting from the same point. A city has the option to declare an area tax incremental financing district, and in that method, they designate an area contiguous tax keys to form the TID. At that point, the tax base for those tax keys becomes frozen and it continues to be available to all the other taxing authorities. But that as new development occurs in that district, the tax levy that is raised by that increase in value becomes available to the TID to pay for project costs. So the key point here is that the base value, which is represented by the blue section of the mid chart that you have on your page, becomes frozen for the term of the TID, and any increment that goes above it and the tax on that increment becomes available to the TID. The key point in a TID is that a TID must be able to answer the question but for the actions on the part of the city to do these project costs, the development in that district would not occur. The TID that we're talking about is TID 4. That particular TID is located along 27th Street at the south end of the city, going north from South County Line Road to an area just south of Ryan Road. It moves west from 27th Street to approximately 35th Street. That TID was formed in 2005. With that creation, this was a mixed-use TID, so the TID had a 20-year life available, a maximum time frame. But I would remind the Common Council that by state law, TIDs must have all project costs expended within the first 15 years of the TID. For TID 4, that expiration period would become June of 2020. The tax incremental district, I'd like to talk about the district in terms of two pieces. We'll talk about what has happened in the TID for the through December of 2014, and then we'll talk, after we've reviewed what has happened in the TID, we'll talk about what the plans are going forward. That TID generated just over $43 million in increment from 2005 until the end of 2014. And the TID, if the project plan is extended as we're talking, as been proposed, is projected to have just short of $120 million of increment value in the TID at the date of closure, which represents just over 1% of the 2014 equalized value of the city. The project costs in the first years of the TID totaled $5.7 million. They were incurred early in the TID's life. As of December of 2014, $1.2 million of those project costs had not yet been repaid. But it is projected that by the end of 2016, all of those all of the debt incurred for the initial project costs would be retired. The tax levy on the $43 million of increment through December of 2014 has totaled $5.3 million. There have been other revenues that came in just short of $1 million for a total revenues into the TID of $6.2 million. There's been some discussion over the last several months about the impact of a TID on the school district that is related to that TID. This particular TID is located in the Oak Creek Franklin School District, and that district has foregone a little better than $2 million in tax levy, which has become available to the TID over its life. So nearly a third of the revenue in that TID has come from foregone tax levy from the joint school district of Oak Creek Franklin. I recently visited with Ehlers, our financial consultant, inquiring about the tax impact on a school district of a TID district. And I learned during that session, and I have available if the Common Council members would like to see it, that the increment available to the TID does not impact the school district at all. And when the TID closes, the benefit of that increment does not impact the school district or the taxpayers of the district in a manner that we're accustomed to at the municipal level. And by that I mean this. As the increment becomes available and reverts back to the school district at the closure of the TID, the tax levy will go up by that amount of additional tax base. But what occurs in a school district is the state aids to the district decline by an amount equal to the increase in the tax levy, such that the total revenue available to the school district does not change. And the tax rate that residents in the district pay, the rate, stays the same. So the impact on their home does not change after the TID closes. So the discussion around the benefit of this particular TID benefiting the Oak Creek Franklin School District, while there is increased revenue to the district, or to the school district, there is decreased state aids such that there is no tax benefit to the taxpayers in the district. And we went through an analysis when Franklin's TID 4 does close, whenever that happens to be, the tax levy that will be apportioned back to the city of Franklin will increase by an amount equal to the increase in tax base. So the tax rate in Franklin will not change, and the tax rate in Oak Creek will not change, and homeowners will not see any benefit to that. Conversely, when the district closes, that tax levy benefit does inure to the city of Franklin and the other taxing authorities, such that the Franklin residents, taxpayers, would see a benefit by the closure of that tax district. The city tax rate would decline had the district closed, TID closed in 2014, by approximately 14 cents, or about $35 per taxpayer. At the city tax rate, the total tax rate would have declined by approximately 35 cents, benefiting the average home valued at $250,000 by about $88 on an annual basis. So that addresses the issue of the impact on the Oak Creek Franklin School District portion of the district. I would remind the Common Council that this proposal, as it's been brought forward, would not require another review by the Joint Review Board, as the project plan that's being proposed was considered when the district was formed and the Joint Review Board reviewed that particular proposal. So no new review is needed by the Joint Review Board. The Common Council, however, would have to authorize the project, the proposed project plan. Now, if we move forward, one last comment. The district, by state law, would be scheduled to terminate in 2026. If, by some chance, all of the project costs had not been repaid, there is an automatic extension available for 3 years to help repay that cost so it doesn't fall back on the city. Included in your packet on page 8 is, beginning on page 8, is another copy of the Ehlers proposal. So the detailed numbers are there for you should you need them. The key point in the Ehlers financial proposal, or the financial proposal around this project plan, are the assumptions that are included in those. Included in your packet on page 6 is one of the pages from that Ehlers proposal that enumerated the project, the proposed costs in this next phase of the project plan. So the key assumptions in this financial proposal are that the land that are being proposed to be purchased would be purchased this calendar year, and that infrastructure costs would be completed early in 2016, such that land sales by our development partner could begin to take place beginning in 2016 and continuing throughout the remainder of the this particular proposal. Common Council should note that not all of the land that is being proposed being purchased would be sold by the time the TID would be closed. There still would be some lands of the acreage in the city's ownership, and that could be available to a second TID that would be proposed at the end of this particular TID's life to continue the development of this business park. The other project costs, the significant items were design and engineering of infrastructure costs, street and utility construction. There was significant grading costs in the costs that were leveled, as well as developer incentives. I would remind the Common Council that land sales were projected to take place beginning in 2016, and that should the implementation of this plan be delayed for any significant period of time, that could adversely affect or impact the financial proposal that's before you. There's been considerable interaction between staff and the professional advisors to this, being Ehlers and Rueckert Mielke. There were several iterations of the plan, and the plan that you see before you was the final plan that was presented. And the plan does meet financial considerations for a successful TID. I'm just going through my notes, so give me just a little second here. One element of this proposal that was not discussed in June when Ehlers came forward with their proposal was the impact on the city's debt position should this proposal move forward. The city adopted a debt policy that limits the amount of debt that the city can have outstanding. The debt that is being proposed to pay for these project costs does fit within our existing adopted policy. One of the questions that has come forward is whether or not a second TID or even a third TID would allow, our debt policy would allow for it. Certainly it would allow for it. There would likely have to be some changes to the debt policy as it currently exists to accommodate all of the project costs and other TIDs, but the debt would be accommodated. The Common Council should also be aware that in your packet on page 7 is a copy of the 2014 Comprehensive Annual Financial Report that lists the outstanding debt of the city over the last 10 years. There is available $34 million worth of margin debt available to be floated at the end of 2014, and that does consider the issue that occurred in 2014. There also was plenty of room to increase the debt, the available debt under our debt policy should Common Council decide to do that. The only other item that I believe that is pertinent to be added to this is very little of the city's debt that's currently outstanding is being supported by the tax levy. Nearly all of the city's outstanding general obligation debt is being supported by other financing revenues, those being principally Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewage District through an intergovernmental agency agreement, as well as TID 3 and TID 4, who are supporting the majority of the other debt that's outstanding. there is a small portion that does require tax service, and the tax levy for debt service is approximately, I want to say 43 cents, but I'd have to check on that number. I can get that answer for you. I'd be happy to entertain any questions that the Common Council might have related to this proposal.
Question?
Yep.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Paul, you mentioned that delay could have a financial impact. Are there other items that could impact the financial viability of the project?
Certainly, when the engineering firm gets into the detailed engineering of the project, some surprises could come out of that, which would increase the project costs. If the sale of property does not take place in the fashion in which the developer has, or the proposed developer partner suggested, that would adversely impact the TID. If the land sales did not take place at the value, the proposal has the land being purchased at fair market value, today's fair market value, and then being sold for about approximately twice that value after the additional infrastructure costs are put in. Certainly that doubling of value does not pay for all the infrastructure costs, and that's why the TID would be required to cover all of those additional costs. Other things that could come along, such things as occurred in the state in 2013 when the state legislature provided new state aids to the vocational technical districts, and that lowered their tax levy by approximately 30%. This particular TID saw a 5% reduction in the tax rate because of that, and that lowered the TID's revenues. So should another state law come along and provide additional state aid to local taxing districts that reduce their tax levy, that would potentially adversely impact this district. I'm sure there are other things that aren't coming to mind right now.
What about the projected buildings, the value of the buildings that are projected to bring in the increment?
Well, clearly there's an assumption built into this projection of what that value is. Staff worked with Rukert Milkey to demonstrate the current average value in our business park of existing properties that occurred during the development of TID 2. And those were the values that were used in this assumption, the assumptions into this plan. So if property values that develop in this TID are lower than what we're currently experiencing in our business park, that would potentially adversely impact that. If, however, those values were greater, we could be favorably impacted by this. Another element, the state recently certified the TID's value for the current year, and we had a $10 million increase in that TID's certified value. Staff is still working with the state to be clear on where that value came from, but the $43 million that's of current TID value increment that it was noted in my report was as of 2014. For 2015, that value was $10 million higher.
Excuse me one second. Alderwoman Mayer has joined us at 6:50. Alderwoman, are you still on the floor?
Do we have an answer on the landowner that is unhappy with the road that won't be put in, the one that has the cul-de-sac, and how that could financially affect the project if they decide to stand their ground and fight that?
I'll answer that one, since I was the one with the conversations. I did have a discussion with Mr. Biller on two occasions, plus one here in the council chambers. Mr. Biller is anxious to have his property developed. He just wants to do it himself, which is fine. There's a lot of conversations that need to be had with him. But based on the council action, I'm not permitted to have any conversations regarding this development but I would certainly like to continue my conversation with Mr. Biller and others. There have been, prior to council action stopping this project, there have been very positive discussions with the owners of the parcels on the southeast, of course, the parcels on the north, and the parcels on the west. All of them are interested in developing their parcels. Whether, and I don't want to make a broad brush statement until we can get farther down the road, but they're interested in working with the city. But I don't read too much into that because it's really high-level preliminary conversation. Alderwoman Wilhelm still has the floor.
Well, the question was one of financial, so the question was more if we have, since we have not had all of the conversations and have not come to an agreement, and if we were forward and you would object, financially, how would that affect the project?
Well, not knowing exactly what, not knowing the range of costs that might be incurred for a contested land purchase, the best way I can answer that question is the proposal that's before you, as Ehlers has drafted it up, would have $5 million of excess cash being generated by the TID during the TID's life as the proposal's put together. There was a sensitivity analysis put together by Ehlers saying if one of the major developments that we're assuming did not occur, then the excess cash being generated by the TID dropped to about $2.5 million during the term, the remaining term of the life. So only if the contested land purchase would delay the implementation of this plan by some extended period of time would that begin to cause one to reconsider the proposal. Or if the contested land purchase costs would exceed the $2 to $5 million of excess cash being generated in the TID as the proposal's been put together, would you be putting the city taxpayers at risk?
Well, so in that case, it would probably be more of a timing than a financial.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your comment.
So in that case, it would probably be more of a timing impact on the financial than the actual financial impact, because there is money that could carry through a type of, like a lawsuit or something.
Clearly, my report indicates that time is of the essence on this particular project proposal. We have until June of 2020 to expend these project costs under state law. And because there are land sales and revenues that are anticipated to occur, as well as development that's anticipated to occur, beginning in 2016, time is of the essence on this proposal. Yes.
A couple of points to make clear. First, if I may, Alderman, the assumptions here are simple math, and they were designed on purpose to be either very pessimistic or very optimistic. And what I say that in the expenditures are very pessimistic. In other words, we added to them to make the numbers higher. And if you look at the $4.6 million, that's $45,000 an acre and 102 developable acres. That assumes that we have to buy all the acreage. And that's not my goal. I don't know that it's anybody's goal. So that's one issue that has to be brought up. Second one is that Mr. Biller's land, and I don't want to speak for him and I don't want to speak about him too much here, only a portion of his land is involved in phase one. So just to put the facts on the table. Alderman Wilhelm still has the floor. And Alderman Mayer.
Well, I'm going to yield the floor, but I do have questions on for Glenn related to the infrastructure, so he maybe be thinking about all those costs are fit into this well. Some of the other alternate opportunities.
Alderman Mayer.
Paul, this is kind of a sidebar, and you may not be prepared to answer this, but could you give us a brief relative history of shared revenue from the state of Wisconsin? You may not be able to do that. I mean, it's dropped significantly over the years.
Actually, Alderman, while I didn't bring it with me, I did an analysis out of the Wisconsin Facts book published for 2014 that looked at municipalities with a population of 30,000 to 150,000 in the state. I believe there are approximately 25 to 30 cities that meet that requirement. And Franklin is at the lower end of the range of state aids amongst that population of communities. So I could address your answer from that aspect. The major form of shared revenue that the city of Franklin receives from the state comes by way of transportation aids, about $1.2 million on an annual basis.
And has that changed over the last decade?
It has declined. Our state revenues have declined. And principally, because transportation aids are the primary source of revenue that the city receives, in the late 1990s, early 2000s, the city had a transportation project, the reconstruction of Drexel Avenue between Highway 100 and Loomis Road. That was a major road project that spiked up the rolling average that the state uses in its formula, and 2014 was the last year that that rolled out of the formula. So our state aids will continue to fall for a couple of years as we move down now to our average spend. So that project really helped boost state aids for a six-year time frame.
So what was it at the peak?
I'm sorry, I don't have that number available
okay.
to me, and I wouldn't want to give you a false impression, but
I can
get it for you.
I understand. Can that be changed by the state?
Can what be changed by the state?
The formula that they use for shared revenue?
Well, the state can always do that. I would think that there would be perceived winners and losers should that formula be adjusted, and the losers likely would be arguing with the state legislature against such a change, while the winners would be arguing for such a change. I would anticipate that a change of that nature might be difficult to occur, but not impossible.
Sort of like Act 10.
That was another very difficult thing for the state legislature to do, I believe.
Possible.
Pardon me?
But it was possible.
Yes.
It happened. So compare shared revenue with school aid. I know I'm putting you on the spot, Paul. School aid is money from the state that they use formulas to provide money, and we all say that as tax revenue goes up, school aid goes down, but that can change at any time with the state.
Certainly, Alderman, the rules of any game are set by the legislature, and the legislature can change the rules at any point in time. When I prepare advice to you or information to you, I make those comments based upon the existing set of rules that I know.
Understand.
I can't anticipate what
Absolutely.
The legislature may change. But
I understand.
As I mentioned earlier in my comments, very recently the state legislature changed the aid formula for vocational schools, which reduced the tax levy at the property tax level and therefore reduced TID revenues. Municipalities all across the state are singing the blues about that change. Yet it did reduce property taxes for vocational schools across the state. And my view would be the state local property taxpayers, myself included, were happy with that particular change because it reduced taxes. So there's impacts of various types anytime a change is made.
Thank you.
Alderman Dandrew.
So, Paul, you went, Alderwoman Wilhelm was talking about the historic of this project. What was the forefathers came up with this plan in 2004, 2005, it was implemented. What was the projected increment in the first phase of this plan, and do you deem it, was it successful? Did we meet the projections that they estimated back, way back in the original planning of this project?
I don't have those projections immediately with me, but my recollection of that is that the 2005 plan, which is available on the city's website if you'd like to read it in detail, originally projected an increment of about $180 million. So the increment is now projected to be at $119 million, so it's reduced significantly. The primary reason, in my opinion, that occurred is the economic recession that occurred shortly after this plan was originally adopted. Having said that, your question, I believe, relates to what was the economic, the increment that was projected to occur in 2005 from the first phase of development costs. And again, my recollection from having reviewed that program is that the increment occurred, took longer to occur, but that the increment we experience today is very similar to the increment that was projected to occur until the second phase of project costs were going to occur, which was originally projected in 2008. But obviously, we are sitting here in 2015, and that hasn't occurred yet.
Paul, you mentioned that the original plan had $180 million in anticipated revenue. Is that correct?
Anticipated increment.
Increment. Based on what geography?
There's been no change in the geography of this district.
But the plan in front of the council now is only for phase two of the TID, phase one for the plan.
That is correct.
Which is only 102 acres as opposed to almost 500 acres in the 2005 program.
You are correct, Mayor, that the original plan anticipated a much more robust build-out of the business park than what's currently envisioned. But again, the recession that occurred in 2008 delayed economic development. It is a reality of fact.
I'll be plain. The $180 million was less per acre in terms of increment than what we anticipate in this current.
I haven't run this calculation, but I wouldn't argue that point.
Alderman Danner still has the floor.
No, I agree with those numbers, Paul. I know we had spoken earlier in regards to that information, and we can't control situations that are going to occur through history, or now that we're looking at it with 2020 hindsight, we can address these with much wiser comments. But I was concerned that our projections and reality seem to be fairly close in what we've done in that phase one of the project. Although it took longer, we all understand why it took longer because of the downturn in the economy. Now we're on a little different dance floor, per se, in regards to where the economy is going. It's moving forward, and we've got to make a decision. Do we move and progress forward with this project? And so, in your best opinion, and you're giving us the facts, do you believe that the points that have been set are realistic to be attained within this next 10-year window?
I believe that the proposal before you is a conservative proposal about what can occur in this district.
Okay. Thank you.
Alderman Mayor?
Paul, another one to put you on the spot that you may not have thought about before. Understanding that staff time can be billed to the TIF district, I'm just curious about how much time, percentage-wise, if you can throw a percentage out there, of your time has been spent on this particular TIF district?
In the last 5 months, probably 15 to 20% of my time has been spent on various issues related to this proposal and this district.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Alderman Schmidt.
You said that Ellers is projected to have basically an extra $5 million built in for projected, if there are for contested land purchases. Is that like eminent domain type of things?
Alderman, the financials projections stand on their own. Ellers is the one who pulled them together, so I don't want to give ownership to Ellers other than the fact that they have reviewed them. They put these particular proposals together, but my internals were similar to that. The $5 million of cushion that I mentioned says that the Should the land sales take place as were projected, should the development occur as projected, there would be $5 million worth of tax levy generated in excess of the amounts needed to retire the debt and service the debt that would be required to incur and complete these project costs. That excess money could be used for project costs contingencies that weren't anticipated, or for sales that might be slower than anticipated. So it's the cushion, it's the reserve that's available in the plan.
Well, those contingencies, because could that entail like relocation of certain businesses that exist down there?
That would be a common council policy decision as to whether or not money's wanted, what they wanted to spend the money on. But
Mr. City Attorney will answer that question correctly.
Phase one, there are none.
Okay. So and, this would be phase two?
Treasurer, can correct me if I'm wrong, but another example is phase one is where that number came from. What's not included in phase one is that large corner of County Line Road. It's South 27th Street. Mayor said the owners are interested in working not only cooperative but concurrently with the city, and so that increment would not be included in the estimated increment for phase one.
The proposal before Common Council today does not include any increment for the parcel the city attorney just described. So should development occur there, it would be additional increment.
One other point. So where the power lines run through there, that would be part of phase two or part of this? This would be included in that?
There's no plan to do anything with power lines.
Okay, so that was what you had been
talking about. We could if you let me spend the money, but it didn't happen.
Okay, thank you.
Could you just clarify the property owner of number one and the property owner of number nine and where the status of which, because I think I'm getting the two confused.
This is
number one's Fox Glen.
Necessarily anyone we would partner.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Alderman Mayor.
On the list, there's a, you have the allowance and the contingency on the same line. What's the division of that? What would be the allowance and what's the contingency?
Alderman, you're referring to the project costs that were included on page?
Correct.
Okay. I just want to make sure I understand the question.
Page 10.
I believe that's page 6 of the packet where the project costs.
Well, we've got multiple page numbers here,
right.
So we should
yeah.
decide which
I
one.
I think page
4. 6 and 12 are they both continue?
It's immediately following the colored page.
64. All right, there's also on 11. Same page as on 11. So.
Where's that page 64?
So, Alderman, I believe you're referring to what's is listed as line 14, allowances and contingencies.
Correct.
That $1.8 million. That just was intended to be added costs that might be needed should any of the estimates for the items immediately above that be insufficient to cover that cost. So I believe it was described earlier that this particular proposal was put together with higher costs than might be required and lower sales of property than we think might occur. So conservative on both ends of the spectrum.
Okay, but you still have it on the same line. And as far as I'm concerned, allowances are something that will be spent and a contingency is something that could be spent. So what is the division of that what are the allowances and what do they have for contingency?
That's the next step. This is just an engineer's estimate as to a contingency. You just put contingency allowance.
So I could go ahead and cross off allowance, and that's actually a 20% contingency? Or are you going to have expenses that will be spent out of that $1.8 million that will be an actual cost somehow? And you guys know that a contingency is something that you may or may not spend. An allowance, you're given an amount that will most likely be spent, give or take a little bit. Yeah. I just want it separated out. I want to know what the contingency amount is.
Not an issue. That would be the next step, should the council authorize it, because the engineering hasn't been done. But it's not an issue. We can do that. But it's the next step. Also built into that number, as I recall, is administration, engineering fees, that kind of thing. So there's stuff in there that we will break out and should be broken out, absolutely.
So is there an actual contingency amount, or is the 1.8 going to be spent? Is 18.9 just the bottom line of what's going to be spent? And I will have to, in my head, think that we're going to spend over that amount? Or can you actually give me what you're thinking for a contingency amount?
Can't. That's the next step. Again, this was the budget number for the council to consider as to whether or not this development was feasible. That was the November 4th instruction. That was the request, and that was the instruction. So this page, or these group of pages, is that feasibility. This is not an engineered project. I mean, they did work, but it's not a final engineered project.
Well, and I understand that, because I can read right there where it says the project costs presented by Rueckert and Mielke are estimates only and will probably be modified.
Right. And what I'm saying is I agree with you totally. I 100% understand where you're coming from. It's the next step.
With the property, the Fox property, if, and this is for Glenn, if that property was needing to be developed, they wanted to work with us, what are the responsibilities of the city at that point to, because we're only bringing water and sewer to their property line?
I'm sorry, I don't have the properties memorized.
It's the southeast corner. Gulfdale.
Okay.
The one with the wires on it.
Sure. Most of them have wires on it.
So you're
not
saying,
in phase one.
So you're saying if they wanted to develop, what would the city do? Work with them? Be nice? And just like the site that Interstate has been looking at, we tried to get them developed in such a way that it would accommodate these preliminary concepts.
But those costs that the city would incur are not included on this proposal at this time.
That's right.
Okay. So what if they were the first property that wanted to develop? And our plan is to bring water and sewer down the middle of the cornfields, but they're the ones who want to develop. And they need the wires brought down.
Well, obviously if we could work with the existing property owners to make that occur, we would. If there was a hold up with the property owners, figure out the alternate route.
Alternate route for what?
The water and the sewer, whatever the issue.
Okay. So you could possibly have to bring water and sewer down 27th Street?
Possibly. That particular parcel, we were looking to actually have a lift station to the west that would go over, and we're talking about MSD, but it would actually cost share, actually fund that. We would maybe finance it, but they would actually pay for it.
So are those costs not included on here?
Let me take this.
That's okay. I can ask the questions here.
But you're putting Glenn on the spot where he doesn't have the answers to the questions because he wasn't that included, that involved in the discussions.
Okay, that's fine. Hold on just a second then. So if you have not been included in on this, have you weighed in on whether or not the costs that are here are actually appropriate for the land use expected? If that land on the corner of 27th Street, the Fox property, were to develop also, is the lift station that is planned for this development enough to handle the needs if it was all going to be developed? All of phase one would be developed. Is one lift station sufficient?
Yes. I think what you're asking is, would this one lift station be enough to handle all of phase one? The idea was to allow all of phase one and phase two. The rest of the
one lift station.
Yes. We would build a pit that was wide enough and deep enough, and maybe have smaller pumps in there to accommodate just the initial flows, but we can make it adaptable.
So in the initial, and you may not be aware of this, but in the initial proposal back in 2005, they were actually looking at multiple lift stations. Do you think the engineers, the city engineers at that time, who had looked at this project and actually verified the numbers, that they were incorrect, or?
I'm not sure. I haven't seen the 2005 information.
All right, thank you.
A couple things. The engineering for the preliminary high-level engineering for that lift station was conducted by Rueckert & Mielke, not our city engineering staff. The instructions to Rueckert & Mielke were to engineer that lift station such that the entire area could be served, plus the area to the east side of 27th Street and the area in Raymond to the south. That lift station is designed for the entire area. The purpose in that is very simple. It's so that we can use one lift station for multiple jurisdictions and involve MMSD to pay for it. You and I have talked about this. You were involved in meeting about this, as a matter of fact. Have the MMSD fund that project, that portion of the project. So this lift station is sufficient, according to Rueckert & Mielke, to handle the entire development area. Relative to your question regarding Fox Glen and them developing, the concept behind the Fox Glen property, I apologize for giving that back. The idea behind the Fox Glen property is the infrastructure would already be in place as per this project, except for service to their direct parcel. In other words, the lift station's there, it just doesn't go to their parcel. That they would develop, as the developer, their parcel. And should they need city assistance, we would do what's called an inverse TIF. The developer would pay for it, and the TIF with development would pay them back, whatever was negotiated. So those numbers are a neutral wash. And that would be the same for phase two, the Biller property and the Wendt property, thank you. That would be a reverse TIF, whereby the developer of that property would pay for it, and any city cost would be reimbursed through the development.
When did that kind of arrangement come into existence?
There is no arrangement. That's the development thought behind it.
So is it a state law that allows for something like that, or when did that
come about? As a matter of fact, the Northwestern Mutual Life Building is being done that exact way for the city of Milwaukee. It's called a pay-as-you-go. But again, you got to have the base infrastructure there in order to make a pay-as-you-go road. Anyone else? Alderman Evans.
This is for the city attorney. I think it's been inferred, but I don't recall the city attorney saying that he has determined that the project complies with tax increment law, the state statute. I think it's important to, maybe I'm wrong, but to state that somewhere along this process.
Your financial consultants, primarily Ehlers, which is one of the top rated, if not the top financial consultant with regard to tax incremental districts in Wisconsin, has said that the plans and the numbers appear to work and that they're conservative, and that the but-for test with regard to these expenditures has been met. Question absolutely everything in life, but we never know the answer until tomorrow comes. I trust ours.
Alderman Wilhelm.
I don't have any problem with the trust in the Ehlers, but Ehlers worked with figures they were given by one of the property owners, which makes me a little bit uncomfortable. One that stands to benefit $3 million based on these figures. So I want to get back to the engineering questions that I have. Glenn, I kind of wish you had this map in front of you, but phase one is the yellow, which ends right here, and that's where the proposed cul-de-sac is, and I understand the property owner here is not real happy with the cul-de-sac on his property. So have the cost of this road been extended to move that cul-de-sac, because it shows a cul-de-sac here and a cul-de-sac here. Do we have the extended cost to move that? I'm sure it would be a lot, but have we made that cost difference?
I know it's been discussed. I've seen a few plans, matter of fact, where Ruth or Milk has done that. So it's not a huge cost in the overall scheme of the entire project.
Okay, so but we would need to update the cost for that. And
we would like to extend the road past that area because there's a wetland across there. And as of right now, it looks like we can cross it. The fear is we don't want to stop short and have to go back in 5 years to where maybe the wetland grew and maybe we have difficulty getting the permits.
Right, and that was one thing I noticed, that it did stop short of crossing that wet area, but yet I don't see a line item. Could you tell me which one of the line items cover all the environmental issues and permits and that aspect of that? And
I would suspect, I've seen some more detailed cost breakouts, but that's generally part of that allowances and contingencies at the end for part of the permit.
So that's an unknown at this point.
That's what?
It's an unknown at this point.
Sure, and we're still waiting. Or haven't gotten to the point where we've asked Rupert Milkey or any other design firm to provide a detailed proposal to design either. So these are high-level estimates.
And then I'm a little confused on the acreage and the developable acreage and what's in the TID, because I got 102 here. I heard the mayor say 102. I've got a sheet in front of me that says 354, and then it goes Toro LaFleur and 66. So it would be maybe better to update this map to show exactly what the city acreage is that we're planning to do, minus what the other property owners want to do from that. So I can get it accurate. Right now, I don't know the accurate figure. Do you know the accurate figure on what is the city's portion of this land for this TID if we take away those other properties?
Well, I'm pretty speculating, but I would suspect that until we get an opportunity to talk to all the property owners and negotiate, we don't know.
We're mixing terms here, and we got to be important and clear. The TID is all of us. The only item that I think
phase one.
The TID is all of them. Okay? It's phase one, it's phase two, it's the trucking terminals, it's all of that. Okay? That's the TIF. Okay. So what we're concerned about as the city government is the expenditure portion. Where are we as a municipal body spending money? That's the number I think you want.
No, the number I want is the developable acreage, the acreage the city, okay, on phase one.
One.
Okay. But that doesn't include moving this over onto this section because that acreage is not in this phase one.
Phase two, which is the west and north, is not included. The,
right. So there would be
Fox Glen property
here.
Is included, but no expenditures.
Okay. So it would be minus 102 minus 51 acres.
What's the 51 Fox Glen?
Yes. So basically, we're like 51 acres of it did this for phase one.
No, but you're
for our phase one. I'm talking about phase one.
Phase one includes the Fox Glen property, but without us providing them any additional infrastructure other than sewer and water.
So the answer to my question would be approximately 50 acres would be what the city would be doing for phase one under this particular financial proposal for this deal.
I don't know what you mean by doing, but
putting infrastructure in, putting stormwater management in, everything that TID is.
You'll see that there is stormwater management on the southeast corner of the Fox Glen property.
I just so trying to get an acreage size. Okay. So
there's 102, that's everybody's frame of reference. As you start using different numbers, that provides a substantial amount of confusion, which is not fair to our constituents.
Now, out of that, let's just stick with 51 acres because you said 102, and I'm going to take away this parcel, which is 51.
So are you going to take away the revenue when they develop?
I'm trying to get to a, so I can answer a question. Would you allow me that? Or otherwise, I'll just yield the floor and let someone else do it.
What's important is we don't provide false information to our constituents.
I'm asking a question. I'm not providing any information.
But I gave you an answer. I gave you the answer of 102, and then you change it back to 51.
So okay. Out of the 102 acres of phase one, 51 acres of it that won't be developed by the city of Franklin because it will be developed by Fox Glen, does that include this green space and this green space as well?
The answer to that question is no, because those are not developable acres. But it does include in the purchase.
Okay.
If we buy.
So that 51 is developable. It does not include those.
I believe that's correct, yes.
And we, how close are our delineations on those properties, if we know how close 100%. That 50? So those are pretty good. Okay.
Yep.
So 102 acres, what's the MMSD for surface ratio for stormwater basin when you start putting asphalt down for stormwater management?
I'm not sure I understand your question.
Okay, cover an acre with pavement, you got to provide a stormwater basement. What's the MMSD ratios for stormwater basin that would be for 102 acres?
But it's based on surface runoff, and you have to do the calculation. I don't know if there's a hard number for that.
Okay. Because in this 102 of phase one, I'm only seeing this one stormwater basin here. Is there another one?
The concept I talked to Everly about was having one basin for what we thought would be appropriate for the entire area. If someone came in and had a more intense design than what we imagined, then they would have to make up for it on their site. So, for example, someone may come in and they may have an easy development with a lot of green space and such. They may not have to do anything. Someone else would come in, maybe they want to pave everything. They would have to compensate. And that's been the design so far. Again, we're still high-level design. We haven't designed anything
Do you know what the acreage is of the current stormwater pond at the business park?
I do not.
Joe, I believe he did the calculation.
I guess I'm just trying to, I'm looking at all this acreage and that little bit of pond there, so I understand that when individual people develop it, they can add more to it.
Right.
But then they pay for that cost?
Yes. And again, the concept I talked about, Joe, we haven't designed it and laid it out yet, but the design was to put a big of a basin in as we could, the entire area, but knowing that if someone came in with a more intense development, they would have to make up the difference. It's still easier for them than if they were to take any other lot.
I guess I'm just concerned about down to 102 acres minus the land that, you know, that we won't be developing, and we're cutting into the other 51 acres, because I'm sure these people here aren't going to be allowed to put their stormwater basin over on these people's property. So we can't say we're going to put a stormwater basin, so that's why I was not including this property, this 51 acres, because that leaves 51 acres for all the roads, all the infrastructure, and any additional stormwater basins that might be needed, which probably is a big possibility that they might be needed based on what I'm looking at the other business park. So I'm just looking at the developable area, what will be left, and all this work we're putting into this for how much land.
And you have to understand what level of detail we're at. I mean, every week that was the road outline was changing, and the lot lines were changing, and then we were asked to stop working on it, so we haven't proceeded that part of detailed design.
And then I understand the first time the numbers went around, they didn't work, and now we took this road out. So to me, I know it's not part of this phase, but what happens if this develops and this develops? And then we need this road, but we're not including that road. What do we do with that?
Excellent question. We will buy the right-of-way for the sewer and water. That's the intended route of the sewer and water. Mm-hmm. So we won't have the right-of-way. We'll have the easement for that. The actual position of the road is, who knows? Could be all the way to the west, could be all the way to the east, could be in the middle, who knows? That's at this point irrelevant. The direct answer to your question is that's when this pay-as-you-go TIF would come into play, whereby now there would be development to pay for the infrastructure that you would put in.
Okay,
so that's why you do...
What I need to understand is, if this parcel develops and this parcel develops and we end up in this pay-as-you-go, I need a lot more information to understand pay-as-you-go before I want to make a decision on that. So could someone get the council more information on how the pay-as-you-go works? Because that could be a scenario that could very well happen, because water and sewer is already here. This land's developable. These people would like to move, but they will be dependent on us. And if we're not going to buy the road right away, as part of this, and that means we're going to have to negotiate with all these people as well. So,
I do need to make clear a point, and then I'm going to get to Mr. Fuchs. The road layout is just a concept. It's not cast in stone. Okay? It'll move. It'll move up until the final engineering's done and the concrete gets laid. So, don't worry about where the cul-de-sacs are. We have that as an issue, but don't worry about that. The roads are going to be flexible. That's the concept for acreage that the market will bear. So, yes, we'll get you information on pay-as-you-go TIFs. I just saw an article. Where did I see that? Oh, we'll get it. Mr. Fuchs.
I just wanted to clarify that the southwestern corner, there is 4.8 acres that is labeled as a potential stormwater mitigation area.
As well as the city property on the north side for the parcels that are above the slope.
There, for phase two, there would be a 4.3 acre area, so that could accommodate the stormwater for the property.
Alderman Mayor.
Is that in addition to the stormwater area that she pointed out?
In addition to just between phase one, two areas on the concept plan for stormwater. In phase two, there is an additional area off an existing stormwater pond.
So it still is only the area that was pointed out by Alderman Wilhelm?
No, there is two. So three total, two in phase one. There was one indicated by Alderperson Wilhelm for the near the Gulf Dome. There's also 4.8 acres on the southwest corner of the project area. And in addition to, there's an existing stormwater pond further north.
Okay.
That could be built up.
Any other questions?
Well, just to say that then this parcel, if it's might be reserved, that's another 4.3 off of the 51 acres. Well, it's what it says, 4.3 right there. So I was just reading what it says. This is the area where the other stormwater basin could be proposed, is what Nick was showing us, right? And that's 4.3 after that, out of that 51 acres.
And here we go again. Please check with Joe Milkey at Rueckert and Everly. Joe Everly at Rueckert and Milkey, he's got all those calculations. Please do not make assumptions.
Well, shouldn't we have those? Could we have those?
You told us to stop work. We stopped work. If you want that information, we'll be happy to get it to you. You just got to tell me it's okay. Tell me it's okay, and I'll Google it.
Well, he made the assumption, so he must have that material.
I'll have him call you.
Or you could just put it in my box.
I don't know what forms are. I'll have him call you. You guys can do it. If I'm in the middle, then you blame me, and
Well, I would like to make a comment about, you know, Rueckert Milk making the assumptions. I mean, if they are making the assumptions, we should have the back information for that and be able to understand how they came up with that. If they're getting their information from MLG, there is a conflict there, and I do want to bring that up, that, you know, there's a conflict. So it's a little questionable as to, you know, why we're not getting the backup kind of information.
Absolutely wrong. Inappropriate, Alderwoman.
Can I have what the exact ratio is, Paul, for where we are with the TIF numbers
You're looking for the development to project costs ratios?
Correct.
Well, as the proposal's been put together, the project costs are...
AJ?
Totaled just short of $19 million, and the estimated total development is $118 million. So 19 divided 118, I'll go through the math and I'll get you that in.
Okay, so at what point does the ratio fall below the 4-to-1 ratio? On the dollar amount? What would costs have to be in order for the numbers to fall below a 4-to-1 ratio?
Well, 4-to-1 would be 25% of the 118 million. That would be 25 and 4, 29. Approximately $29 million in total project costs. And at that point, it would be exactly 4-to-1.
So you could go from 19 to 29?
And still get to, and still be with less than 4-to-1. Yes.
Okay. Thank you. I wanted to make a point about don't worry about where the cul-de-sacs are. If you cul-de-sac that area, developers, I mean, you have to come down County Line Road then in order to access that property. And that's not going to be easy or, I would think, desirable by developers to come in and do that for the kind of business that we are wanting to attract. And I do have a question regarding on that same page, the project cost page, it says phase one, it says industrial, lots 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and then the Interstate Partners Development, lot 18. That's supposed to be industrial property. Phase one commercial is only lots 1, 2, 3, and 4. What's the difference between, I mean, I guess I'm getting really confused between the terms that are being used possibly interchangeably, industrial and commercial. And if we are trying to attract high-end businesses like that are in the current business park, number one, why are we calling it industrial? And why are we expecting developers to want to come down County Line Road when the properties, for instance, on 27th Street that have water and sewer right there have not developed? Why? How can we expect them to come down County Line Road?
Okay, a couple issues. First one, relative to the terms industrial, commercial, and business park. Industrial is used in the state statutes under the TIF law to define a use. Does not define quality, does not define any building standards whatsoever. So I thought we talked about this on the Saturday meeting, but maybe people didn't hear me or I wasn't speaking clearly or something. The property, if you look at page 10, 4, I don't know, whatever this page is, it talks about, and the next page, more specifically, 11 or 5, talks specifically about the developmental goals, square footage, and value per square foot. That's where you come to 680,000 square foot, I'm sorry, an acre for business parkland, and 1,000,001 for the frontage on 27th Street, which in these documents is referred to as commercial. The terms are meaningless. It's all dictated by the values that we've assigned as the goals. And again, at the Saturday meeting, I don't know if people heard this relative to your comment about County Line Road, but the developer stood up and said he's got a customer who's interested in a parcel in 10 acres in that quadrant, southwest side of what we're talking about as phase one, at $1 million an acre. Now, he's interested in 10 acres at $1 million an acre. It's $10 million. He doesn't have a problem with County Line Road. What I'm hoping for is this council at some point will look for ways to make things work rather than to make them not work. This is a concept. This is per the instructions of the Common Council. It's not fully engineered. We told you it's not fully engineered. It will be fully engineered if you say, go engineer it. It's had stress test. It's had our financial consultant. He works for us. No conflict of interest. He works for us. Say it works. Ehlers is our financial advisor. He works for us. Any developer in the world can come in and tell him anything he wants, but he is the financial consultant. He's done more of these TIFs than anyone in southeast Wisconsin. Any other questions?
I think one of my concerns is that, and maybe this was discussed when I was absent, but one of my questions is, what was the original intent of TIF 4? And the properties were all zoned at the same time with the 27th Street corridor. And in my mind, my understanding would be that you're wanting to develop 27th Street and improve upon that. This proposal doesn't do anything for 27th Street. It forces us then, if something would want to happen on 27th Street, to then spend more money to make that happen.
Okay, you're entitled to your opinion. It's not factually correct.
Why?
This package brings development activity to that area, which was anticipated, and although I will agree with you, the zoning in 2005 was for multi-use, which is just not going to happen in our economy. It's just not going to happen away from 27th Street. Certainly can happen on 27th Street. This development, this will provide, as we talk about Area A, this will provide some activity, some synergy, some activity that will help spur on the 27th Street development. It will also provide the infrastructure necessary specifically for the southern half of the area, Elm Road and below, infrastructure necessary to make 27th Street happen. In addition to that, 27th Street on the north of Elm Road has a difficult time with infrastructure because it too falls off and needs some help on infrastructure. All of that would be funded and helped along by the development to the west. Same as our business park. I don't know where you're getting your information, but...
What information? I just have questions, that's all.
Okay. Any other questions? I'll let everyone call you. Alderman Mayor.
Have there been any soil borings or anything done on the property?
That's not... That's the next phase.
I don't believe there's been soil borings. There has been environmental determined wetland, but not soil borings.
Okay. The conversation that you referred to was a day, I don't know, I think it was just after Thanksgiving, and I walked into the Alderman room, and you were in there with Rupert Milkey talking about the project, and you showed the plan to me. And you talked about Oak Creek participating in the sewer coming down 27th Street at that time. So 27th Street was talked about. I believe that it probably was the first option that the city would have wanted to do at that time, and I don't know what the numbers would have been, but they did not work. Is that then where we then changed direction to just do the sewer and water through the middle of the cornfield to the southeast properties?
No, the change was made due to the timing of 27th Street reconstruction, as I recall. I could be wrong about that. It had nothing. And as you and I discussed at that meeting, the name Oak Creek was not to be mentioned outside that room for strategic purposes.
Wouldn't it benefit the city of Franklin to have Oak Creek help us with the costs of that?
Absolutely not. If you think big picture, which I know is tough for a lot of people in this room, if you think big picture, what's an even more marketable piece of land around this area than what we have on the corner of 27th and Oakwood Road? The land just to the east of that, wouldn't it? Because it overlooks the expressway. This shouldn't be in closed session. I'm not comfortable talking about this. This is very disheartening. I'll be happy to meet with you in private to discuss it. Alderman Moore.
Well, it's hard for us to make decisions and understand the project when everything has to be in private. And
this whole process should have been in closed session, but we did out of courtesy to you folks in open session.
Well, I don't set the agendas, Mr. Mayor. But my question is...
We've got land values on these sheets. We should never have put that in the public.
Like I said, I don't set the
agendas. But everybody wants all the information. We give you the information. Here it is.
It was Sewer Pack staked this out, correct? Sewer Pack staked out the areas for...
Correct.
And we heard that that's 100% complete?
I believe it is, yes.
Could we have those documents? copies of them in our box?
Sure.
That's a nodding yes. Okay. Thank you.
Do all of you want copies of those?
Sure, that would be great.
For me, it helps me understand, again, the developable.
I just wondered
land.
If we have to copy them for everybody. So it looks like Alderman Mayor and Alderman Wilhelm and Alderman Mayor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
No, I would like a copy. For some reason, my city email doesn't always send the...
Because you brought a Mac.
And that's why.
So I will have them like a hard copy once, want a hard copy. Send PDFs to everybody.
PDF is good for now.
Okay.
Okay, so current status of this is the order to not discuss this or not continue work on this still stands. I was asked at the Wheaton Blessing to meet with them regarding this development. I must now request either you tell me I can go or I'm going to have to turn it down. I can't have a conversation with any of the landowners based on your motion there.
Actually, in Paul's report here, the Finance Committee reviewed the three proposed development areas August 25th, meeting and recommended continued study of all three development areas. So the Finance Committee didn't make a recommendation, as far as I can tell. I don't think we can go against the Finance Committee.
How about the Community Development Authority? Say do it.
There was a split vote.
CDA?
Split vote.
Yeah, Alderman.
Besides, it's one thing to take the recommendations of a committee or a commission and then use our elected status to weigh the greater good, but it's an entirely different thing to completely disregard a committee or a commission. We need to give them the time to make their recommendation one way or the other and the information that they're requesting.
It's my understanding there's water and sewer and the road already right across this street from Wheaton, so I don't think they're going to want to put their building way down on phase one. I would think they would want to be right across the road, so I don't understand why you couldn't continue to have a discussion with them.
Because the council action said no further discussions or action on Area D, period.
I think when it comes to development, you can use your discretion if a developer wants to build. I mean, there's nothing that said don't talk to people who want to come into Franklin. It's already there. There is no TID funding that needs to be done if they build across the road. So that's kind of a separate issue. You can make it into that issue, or you can continue discussion with them because they have a place to go.
I just do what I'm told. I was told no action on Area D. And so far,
I don't remember. I don't think it said.
Mr. City Attorney.
Whatever works for you.
I don't know. You could refer to the minutes. That was my recollection in general. There wasn't.
No.
That's my recollection. Go take any action no further that area. That's incremental project area.
That was the motion.
Go talk to any developers.
Page and a half. Alderman Dandridge.
Even if there were interested parties 6 months ago, you're making an assumption that they're still interested. And that may be inaccurate in itself, because they may have moved on to another part of the city. There's development all over this southeastern Wisconsin. So, and there's going to be a real big development just down in Pleasant Prairie. where they're going to be developing by the casino, and it's going to be an over 200-acre business park. So we as a community has to start to move forward. And we're bringing up all these what-ifs. We can keep guessing and be afraid of our own shadows, but they did it with the business park 15, 18 years ago. They did it back in 05, where they put this formula together. All they want to do now is implement the next phase. And all of a sudden, no one wants to move forward. Interest rate, the market, is in position to move forward. There is demand. You're seeing TIF districts develop all around, from Hartford, Greenfield, Brookfield,
Oak Creek,
all around us. They're all vying for one reason. They need the increment. If they don't get the increment, the taxes are going to continue to go up on the taxpayers and the residences. You're going to be seeing budget in the not too distant future, where you're going to wonder why it's going up, and you're also seeing why our projected incomes in certain areas are down, because we don't have development.
0.9% last year. 0.9%. Fastest growing community in Southeast. And you know what 0.9% gets you in terms of additional levy? 260,000-ish.
Just under 200,000.
That doesn't pay your 3% raises. All in
well. Well, I'm still wondering what happened to my motion about the financials for A. We have gone through financials and numbers on this, but yet all I hear when I ask for those to go, let's go over the figures, is they don't work. But I'd like to go over the figures of why they don't work. I know there's items on the agenda for tomorrow night, but I had a specific motion that asked for the financials of A, and that motion is still unfulfilled.
Oliver, with all due respect, it's in your packet. You've received it probably 6 times.
I want...
There is no new numbers.
I asked for Hall. I asked for a financial breakdown of that. I didn't...
Alderwoman, I cannot be any clearer. They're in your packet. You've received them about 6 times, and nothing has changed since March.
We have had no presentation or analyzing or discussion of that. It's just, here it is. It's in your packet. It doesn't work. Move on. That's all we get.
No,
I have specifically asked in a motion for a financial review of that.
Okay, tell me what financial review you'd like. What data would you like that you don't currently have? Wait a minute. Let's save this until where it's appropriate on the agenda, which is item 4. Let's finish with item 2. Is there any other comments or questions? Alderwoman Mayer.
I have a question regarding a TIF in general.